The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Yes, that line forms on the right, babe. Not that Maggie.
On the fan, McMonagle here with you for the next 3 hours as I take you till 5 o'clock and the warm-up show. 888-808-1019, that's the number to call me, and Fleek's on the other side, and call me up and let's talk about it, because you don't deserve this. I don't deserve this. We do not deserve what is going on here with our football teams. Two dead teams, two dead seasons. What's today, the 11th? I'm awful with dates working this shift. The 11th. November 11th. And the season is over. Football in New York is over. And boy, did it end in spectacular fashion for both of these teams. I mean, just, you wake up at 9 o'clock, just a hideous day of football. Just an out-and-out, hideous day of football. As you wake up at 9 o'clock in the morning, to get ready for Giants-Panthers, live from Germany, live in Munich. You get up early in the morning to watch that slop, and I mean from the jump, and we'll get to it. Because as ugly as losing to the Carolina Panthers is, you know how I feel about it, and in some way I'm glad they lost because I believe it's best for the franchise, but still watching it, the dichotomy of knowing what's best and still being sick to your stomach watching it happen is an unfair, unmitigated disaster that no franchise should put their team through. And yet here we are with the Giants, here we are with Daniel Jones, who you knew within the first offensive drive. You knew it! That ball sails in a clean pocket. That ball sails over neighbor's head. And you know we are in for a day against the worst defense in the league to be shut out at the half. Watching Daniel Jones play football, I can't do it. Watching Chuba Hubbard run it down their throat. But as ugly as that was, you knew what this Giant team was. You knew where this Giant season was going. And we'll have all the conversations about the coach and the tank and the quarterback and all the and the owner and everything else that comes with dead seasons, because here we are. But I knew that was going to be here this morning. Whether they won or not, we were going to have that conversation. The Jets, on the other hand, who went into Arizona to take on the Cardinals, had a chance to continue this season, had a chance to maybe here in the November 11th, as we get ready to start the second week of November, maybe, just maybe, we could have had a year with the New York Jets, and we believed in it after last Thursday. The dopes like me, I'll be first to raise my hand. Not that I thought this season was magically turned around. Not that I thought the magical run was a guarantee. Not that I thought in 5 weeks we'd be talking about the hot New York Jets and how nobody would want to play the Jets if they make the playoffs. I didn't have any misbelief of that. But I did believe in what I saw in the second half, the offensive performance against the Texans, and just the idea that they had ironed some things out and that they were going to get off of an extra 3 days off of the 9-10-day gap. That's the performance that comes out. And I mentioned Daniel Jones and the Giants offense right away. Well, you knew right away, that this Jets defense wasn't there. That this Jets defense didn't show up. Now, the same with the offense. Early on, I know there's pressure on Aaron Rodgers, but early on, he's miscommunication again. All the things you thought had ended in that second half after a brutal first half again with the Texans. In the second half, on the same page, Garrett Wilson making big plays. Devontae Adams making big plays. Big plays in the run game. And you thought, okay, this offense has started to put it together. And as much as I want to yell about the offense, and we can, scoring only 6 points and being shut out in the second half, and Aaron Rodgers looking like old, 41-year-old, washed up, needs to retire Aaron Rodgers. But this defense, and, you know, the coach wants to come out, and Ulbrich, and we all know I'm using the word coach loosely, because they are as poorly coached a team as I can ever remember inside the NFL. And I know it's Saleh, and I know it's Saleh's staff, and I watch the post game, and we talk about the adjustments and the ability to move on the fly and see what's happening here. But ultimately, whether the coach wants to call it the lack of execution, or he's okay with the effort that this defense gave, he's okay with the effort. It wasn't the effort, it was execution. I don't know if it was execution. I don't know if it was the effort. I don't give a damn what it was. That was the worst display of tackling I have ever seen. And when we talked about what we thought this team could be, we knew or thought Aaron Rodgers could elevate the offense in some manner. And we thought the offense could be, hey, if things went perfectly right with Wilson and Hall and Rodgers and a revamped offensive line, there's a chance the offense is even the better unit of the two. Maybe that miracle could possibly happen. But we thought there would be a baseline for what this defense could be. There are games where they play poorly. There are drives that they give up at the end of games. They are not the 85 Bears, as they like to call themselves last year. But there was at least a baseline of some sort of serviceable defense that I expected from this group. And to watch this game and to watch the Arizona Cardinals absolutely run it down their throat. Kyler Murray making big plays, third down after third down. McBride absolutely killing them. And yes, that is now at the end of the season, as this season has now put the nail in the coffin of what the Jets season can be. And don't give me, well, listen, we were saying 7-1. They still have a chance to go 7-0. It's over. And yes, everyone's going to talk about it. I'm not giving you anything unique here. That play from Sauce Gardner in a game where they are down 14-6. It is still a one-score game. And to have him tackled short of the line to gain on 3rd and 7 and to allow him to get out of that tackle, especially Sauce Gardner, who despite the fact is probably having an okay season, is getting absolutely killed and is really the face of an underachieving group defensively. To watch McBride get out of that tackle, make the play, hurdle somebody else, and get that first down, which leads into a touchdown, which pretty much ends the game, is an out-and-out embarrassment. And to watch Connor run it down their throat, watching Murray complete 17 consecutive passes, broke the record for most consecutive passes by a quarterback of the Arizona Cardinals while they got, you know, we had to watch Kurt Warner this morning with the New York Giants, someone finally talking truth about Daniel Jones. But, I mean, they've had some quarterbacks here. 17 consecutive passes. This was easy for the Cardinals. The effort they gave after having the, like, that's what bothers me. And you know what? And shame on me. Because I know the Jets are the Jets. And I know where this season is going. And maybe I'm the idiot for being surprised. I'm not surprised they lost the game. I'm not surprised Aaron Rodgers, you know, turned back into a pumpkin. I'm not surprised with a lot of things. I'm surprised with the effort that this team gave coming off that performance in the second half, that win to at least breathe life a little bit into their season, to have the extra time. And now what we have seen with this group, Robert Saleh, whoever else is the coach, this coaching staff, their inability to get up with extra rest, the ability off the bye, they're terrible off the Thursday night twice now. Their two best performances of the year are on Thursday nights, followed up by some of their worst on the next Sunday. How can they be worse? How is the game plan worse? How is the energy level worse off of that win last week? How is that possible? There are things I could buy and then things that shock me. And as much as I'm probably an idiot for being shocked at this Jet team, I've been buying into them all year long. I'm stupid with anybody else who believed it. But I did not see this level of effort in a defensive performance specifically, as terrible as the offense was too. I mean, you can't win scoring 6 points, I get it. But this defense was embarrassing. This is supposed to be a top five defense. You go through the names on this defense, there's talent there, there's ability there. I know. No, they lost their leader in Mosley. I get it. Mosley not being there is a problem. There's different things. I get it. But my goodness, and they've had trouble tackling all year. So maybe I am stupid for being surprised. From the opening game against the Niners when we excused it because it was the San Francisco 49ers, it's the toughest matchup they'll play all year. You know, the offensive line's good. You don't need McCaffrey. You know, in this offense, that's how good Mason can run the ball. Like, and we excused it. But this entire season, this defense has been as poor a tackling team as I've ever seen. And last night's display, from Sauce Gardner on down, I have to admit, coming off that win and that second half against the Texans with the extra couple days leading into this game, that's the effort they give. They're talking, like all the talk prior, Rodgers talking about, you know, feeling good and what one win can do. You got Devontae Adams talking about he wants to run through a brick wall for this head coach, and he hopes he's his head coach for the next however many years. Like, all of that showed up and manifested in this crap performance, 31-6. An absolute beatdown in a game they were favored in. And even if you think that's stupid, even if you think that's the wrong line, even if you're sitting there counting your money going, I knew it. What a terrible line from Vegas. Fine. That doesn't excuse 31-6 and it not being that close and the inability to make adjustments. And then the insult to injury, Mike Williams scoring game-winning touchdowns for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I know he wasn't great here. And I know there was some issues beyond just what we saw in between the lines on the field. But the inability of the offense to do what Mike Williams does, that route that he scores, that fly route he scores the touchdown on in Pittsburgh, is what he's skilled at. The Steelers figured it out in three quarters, what the Jets could not figure out this entire season. How to use a talented wide receiver. And all of it came back, the miscommunication early on between Rodgers and Adams, like the complete no-show from the defense. I mean, just inability to score in the red zone, just all of it. And this team, I mean, and let's say I heard Lori talking about it. I know they said it on the post game. I've been screaming about it since Robert Saleh was fired. What a horrendous decision the owner made. And you can... You need all your fingers and toes to count the terrible decisions this owner has made. But firing Robert Saleh, whether you think he was a good coach or not, to replace him with his defensive coordinator. And I saw someone tweet about how when you see these coaches get fired, a lot of times you get position coaches and a special teams coordinator who step in because they don't want to mess with the offense and defensive group. They don't want to mess with the coordinators. They don't want to put added stuff to their plate, added pressure. But firing Robert Saleh has broken this defense. It's broken it. The numbers between the first five games with Robert Saleh and these last five games, it's not even the same team. Now, I don't know where they were going with Robert Saleh. I don't know if this was going to be the season we all expected. I don't know if they would have broken the 13 years of playoff drought. I don't know if they would have ultimately been anything more than what they'll end this season as. But I'll tell you what, it wouldn't have been dead November 11th. This defense would have still shown some fight. That was a horrendous decision to fire him and put in Ulbrich. It's completely broken the defense. Completely broken it. They have zero ability to make in-game adjustments. They are terrible with extra rest. It's an embarrassment of epic proportions. I don't know where, you know, I heard Lori talking about where you rank this game. It's a beatdown, and it's a season ender of what will go down, in my mind, as the most disappointing Jets season I've ever seen. When you consider all of the hype, when you consider all of the talent, when you consider this roster, you consider this quarterback, you consider every move they've made to go all in, whether it's trading for the edge rusher, whether it's now bringing in Devontae Adams. I know at that point they were already on their way to this losing season, but still, all of the talent they have, all of the young talent they have, what this defense was in the previous 2 years. The four-time MVP Hall of Fame quarterback. Everything. This is the most disappointing season I can ever remember for the New York Jets. And that's saying something. And this is how they go out. This is how they end that season. I can't believe the effort given by this team. And we can go through the different plays. None of them are that impactful or meaningful, to be honest with you. Yeah. The Sauce Gardner tackle, or lack thereof, is going to be the poster boy of this loss, and rightfully so. But there's a million of them. There's a million of them. James Conner did whatever he wanted. Kyler Murray did whatever he wanted. Trey McBride did whatever he wanted. Up and down the field whenever they wanted at any time. I cannot believe the effort the New York Jets gave. And at this point, I mean, it's over. It's not the same as the Giants. I mean, I don't know if you can tank, and we'll get into that conversation with the New York Giants. I don't know where you go from here. I don't know what Aaron Rodgers wants to do. They are in absolute purgatory. They are in no man's land. And they probably will find a way to win a couple of games. Aaron Rodgers will show glimpses of himself. The defense will have a good performance here or there. They'll figure out a way to win a couple of games. It'll be absolute window dressing. It will be the worst thing that could happen to the team. But ultimately, this Jet team, this Jet group, I have no idea what to say. This is a team with enough talent to be this. This is the least amount done with the most amount of talent I don't know that I've ever seen on a football field. I can't think of a more talented group. Now, I know Aaron Rodgers is older and hasn't played up to his ability necessarily, but still, just looking at the rest of the roster, to be 3-7, to be one of the worst teams in the NFL, to put forth this kind of effort with that defensive ability, I don't know if I can remember a roster more talented than this getting less out of it. And that game yesterday, to end their season with their lack, and I'm sorry, I don't want to hear about that, you know, they have the guys in the room, or that, you know, no problem with the effort, it's just the execution. Tackling is effort. That's what tackling is. Tackling is effort. Yeah, I mean, yeah, did Sauce Gardner tackle a much stronger player and bigger player by his shoulders instead of going by and down by his legs? Sure. Is there technique issues that you could work on tackling? I mean, at this level, laughable, but sure. But this wasn't about execution. This wasn't about technique. This wasn't about making sure you get low. This was about the effort of this New York Jet team and specifically the defense. And there wasn't any. Off of the best win of the season that beat a team that, you know, took the Detroit Lions, who are without question the best team in the NFC, down to the final moments. You went out there and kicked their ass in the second half last week. You got your offense together. You figured it out. You had an extra 3 days to prepare for this game against the Cardinals. And that's who shows up? Embarrassing. And then we'll get to the other embarrassment. The only difference is I knew it was going to be an embarrassment no matter what happened before the game. And we'll get to whether or not Daniel Jones should ever play again for the New York Giants. We'll get to the idea that I'm happy they lost. We'll get to all the different crap that goes through them. Whether it's the turnovers in the red zone, another kicker who can't make a kick, the fumble at the end of the game, Daniel Jones not being able to make clean throws in the pocket, or on a flea flicker, have two different options to get 40 or 50 yards down the field, and the inability to throw the football. I would love to hear from a Daniel Jones defender today. That would be, I know Brett won't call because he doesn't call on Mondays and it's not just about him, but my goodness, can we end it? Can we just end it all right now, honestly? Just end the entire building. Shut down MetLife Stadium. Just turn it off. Turn it off. Close up shop. Honestly, turn it into like a Christmas store. Sell ornaments and Christmas trees. And, you know, 20-foot tall abominable snowmen, because there is no reason to play football in that building again this year. And it's November 11th. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. I got you till 5 o'clock, 3 hours to go. Taking your phone calls on this dead football season. We focused on the Jets primarily in the open. We'll get to the Giants. We'll get to the coach. We'll get to the quarterback. We'll get to everything that went on with that just disastrous game. But ultimately, I'm telling you, Giant fans.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank goodness.
Your official station to talk Knicks. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 2:28 in this miserable Monday morning. And I started with the Jets, not because they're more embarrassing. They're not. Not because they played a worse game even, although it's arguable. Started with the Jets because I actually had belief in them on some level. And you went into yesterday's game wanting a win. And I know many Giant fans might not agree with me. The best case scenario happened yesterday. Losing football games is what the Giants need to do. And we'll get to it. But I went into that game for the Jets off the 10-day layoff expecting a good performance. In fact, everybody did. They were favored in the game coming off that second half. And what they did defensively, and again, I know offensively they're putrid too, right? And they move the ball a little bit. They can't get in the end zone. I thought it was a mistake to go for it down. And I know they're losing the game anyway, but if a field goal still makes it a one possession game as opposed to the touchdown, or a two possession game instead of a touchdown at 24-6 or whatever, like, it's all stupid. But like, it's just, to me, it's the defense. And the Arizona Cardinals did whatever they wanted to do at any moment. The third down conversion rate, sick. Like, they did whatever they wanted to do. This is the all-time, for me, defensive performance that encapsulates this Jet team and this Jet defense. This Jet defense that we could talk about how talented they are. We could talk about how good of a group they've been. We could talk top five, top this, top that. I mean, forget the nonsense of last year with comparing themselves to the 85 Bears. Just overall, what you thought could be a good defensive group. And we've seen them break at different times, even when they were playing well, even during seasons where they were playing well. When, you know, I don't know, all the way back to when the Lions went down the field a couple of years ago. Like, there's been issues with this defense, for sure. They didn't show up today. Like, that's hard to fathom for me. I have to admit, it's hard to fathom. I did not expect that. Lose? Sure. Offensive struggles? Sure. Defense getting beat late in the game? Sure. Defense not being there from the first snap? Showing me arguably the worst display of tackling I've ever seen? Allowing your defensive stud, Sauce Gardner, who heading into the season had been called by many the best cornerback in the sport, wrapping up high and then hoping to just spin him and throw McBride to the ground and instead letting him out of your grasp to go get a first down that leads to the touchdown that officially ends the game. Like, those are things I didn't see coming from this Jet team off of what was a great second half against the Texans that hopefully was going to propel them into at least some sort of season. Instead, they chose to lie down, not want to tackle, not want to be physical, not want to make the aggressive play at the point of attack, and just lie down and let Kyler Murray and James Conner and Trey McBride and everybody else on this very, very solid but overall pedestrian Arizona Cardinal offense absolutely jam it down their throat. I didn't see it coming. It's amazing. That's how you know the Jets are the Jets. Because on a day where the Giants, in prime time at 9:30 in the morning, flew all the way out to Germany to play the worst team in the league and the worst quarterback in the league and got absolutely embarrassed, and the Jets' day was worse. That's hard to believe. 888-808-1019. Thomas in Manhattan. What's up, Thomas?
Chris, thanks so much for taking the call. I wanted to make a point about the Jets, but I just wanted to make one quick point about Daniel Jones, and maybe you'll address it later.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? His rookie season,
yeah,
he played 12 games, yeah, 24 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. That's when they gave him the nickname Danny Dimes, because he was throwing the ball really well that year, and I just don't know what's happened to him, if it's mentally or physical. And yeah, I wish somebody would do a little deep dive and an explanation on that. But as far as the Jets, I think it's just time to, and even you said it, I believe, earlier, to stop talking about how talented the roster is. We've heard nothing but the roster is so great the last 4 years, and they've tried every different combination with Dalla, the rookie quarterback before Rodgers. Then they bring in Rodgers, and it's not that talented a roster anymore. It's never shown itself to be a talented roster. And you could be top five in defense all you want, but if you can't shut a team down at key points of the game, or maybe early in the game or late in the game or whatever, there is no tremendous talent on this roster anymore. And that's just the point I wanted to make. I love listening.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, no, look, right now, the defense lost some talent, and they've had some injuries too. But, I mean, like what you just said, like, I don't know if you, and I'm not here to defend them, believe me, but you can't have a top five defense in the league and say there's no talent there just because they might bend or break at the end of games and not be the best defense in the league or not play well enough to completely put the team on their back and win games without offense. Like, that's what happened with the Jets. Like, last year's defense played really well at times, like really well, and they had zero offense, zero. Like, it's the dichotomy of the two. Like, this year, it's Sauce Gardner trying to explain away the idea that he can't tackle. Last year, he's talking about how he's pissed off because he can't score points himself, or the defense can't score points because they knew the offense wasn't going to score any. Not like this offense is, but I'm just saying, like, last year the defense was so good, the problem was, man, they got to figure out ways to score if they're going to win because the offense is so bad. That's how good the defense was. The defense was so good, they were like, man, we got to add the element of scoring touchdowns, otherwise we're not going to win. This year, we can't tackle. Like, it's amazing that because, again, there is talent on the roster. I don't think it hasn't come together. They haven't put forth good effort in many times. It's been an out-and-out disaster. But I refuse to believe that this team is void of talent. It's just not true. The team is talented. It hasn't mattered, which is hard to believe. Again, maybe I'm wrong. I understand it. I get it. Now it's I'm done arguing about how talented they are. It's over. I'm not trying to sit here and tell you, oh, no, you're wrong. They're super talented. They're great. It's just like, yeah, they're not as talented as we thought, but there is talent. They are not a 3-win football team. They are not a 3-7 talent football team. They're just not. The Panthers are a 3-7 talent football team. The Panthers are a team that deserve 3 wins throughout the year. The Patriots have the talent to have 3 wins right now. The New York Jets' talent is far greater than what their record is. Now, is it as good as we all thought? Is it Super Bowl caliber talent? Is it an AFC championship talent like I projected at the beginning of the year? Maybe not. Maybe it's not as good as we thought. Certainly if certain players are going to regress, like Sauce Gardner. Like Breece Hall. Like, if these players are going to regress, they're not as talented as we thought. They are season still alive talented. They are still in the mix. In the AFC, talented. They are not 3-7 season dead, woeful amount of talent. They're not. JoJo in Long Island. What's up, JoJo?
Yo, Chris, how you doing, brother?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
All right. The Jets and the Giants, man, it's bad.
Yes, it is.
For both of them.
For both
of them. I think what they should do is strip them of the name New York. Just call them New Jersey Jets and New Jersey Giants.
I still think they would lose that way. But at least they'd be in New Jersey, is your point?
It's like Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he shows some times where he's good, but he's bad. He's old.
No, I know. Look, I get it. I mean, the arm talent is still there, and sometimes it's about everything else too. I mean, the inability to seem to get on the same page. It feels like, he doesn't want to hold on to the ball. They don't go down the field. It's the same thing with the Giants too. Like, there's no explosiveness in either of these offenses at all, And Rodgers is not going down the field. Everything's short. Everything's, dink and dunk. They're trying to get rid of the ball quickly. I mean, Rodgers is absolutely a problem. He has not come here and been anywhere near what we hoped he would be. And I don't know if it's just age. I don't know if it's age plus recovering from an Achilles injury. I don't know if it's the curse of this organization hanging over him that forces him to be as bad as he's been in his entire career. I don't know what is going on, but he's not uplifting the team like I thought he would. He's not making people better like I thought he would. He's not helping the offensive line like I thought he would. Garrett Wilson hasn't exploded to being the, you know, one of the top two or three wide receivers in the sport like I thought he could. Breece Hall's not having the dynamic year I thought he would. Like, I thought Aaron Rodgers would come here. And, you know, listen, I blame myself for thinking this. Let's be fair. It's time to self-evaluate. Like, I honestly thought Aaron Rodgers, watching the Jets over the last couple of years, as disappointing as they've been, and as much as they've gone on this run of not making the playoffs over the last 13 years, I've watched this team every week of every season of the last, all of these 13. But over the last handful of years, specifically with Zach Wilson, last year, 2 years ago, I felt like this was a group that was capable of more, and the quarterback was holding them back. How much more? I'm not saying they were great, but I thought the quarterback was holding this group back from being a legitimate playoff team and maybe more. I thought they've done some good things in the draft. I thought they've built up a good, pretty good roster. I think the GM's made a bunch of good trades. I think the roster and the defense specifically was good enough to be a winning team in the NFL if they just got competent. Not even Aaron Rodgers Hall of Fame. If they got Aaron Rodgers Hall of Fame MVP level quarterback, then I thought they were an a AFC Championship Super Bowl kind of team. But I thought they'd be a winning team with Kirk Cousins. I thought they'd be a winning team with, you know, Jared Goff. I thought they'd be a winning team with a capable, serviceable quarterback who just won't kill them and has the ability to get the ball down the field, recognize defense, read defense, go through progressions, make plays, not turn the ball over. Like, I thought that would turn them into a winning team. And so I thought Aaron Rodgers gave them a guarantee of that and possible for more. And instead, everything around him has regressed. The defense is worse. His running back is worse. I don't want to say Garrett Wilson is worse, but it's not been the connection you would have hoped. The offensive line, despite revamping and adding a Hall of Fame left tackle, and they've dealt with some injuries like every offensive line does, but they're not nearly as good as we would have hoped. Everything has regressed. And again, I'm sorry. I don't know if they would have went on a run. I don't know where they'd be right now. They'd be better. The season would not be dead if they did not fire the head coach. And that's not a ringing endorsement of Robert Saleh. It's not. But we are seeing this doesn't work. Firing head coaches midseason does not work in the NFL. There's game plan. There's strategy. There's too much. Like, in baseball, it can provide a spark. And even in football, it can provide a small spark. Antonio Pierce, right, takes over with the Raiders. They kick the Giants' ass. Not that it's very difficult to do that these days. But, and, you know, they had a big performance. You saw what happened with New Orleans beating Atlanta. Fire that terrible head coach, Allen, and bring in the special teams coordinator, and you get a boost for a week or two. But it doesn't help you. This is a sport where you practice five times a week and play once. It's not like baseball. It's work because you provide a spark. Things change. It's not a fundamental game plan every day. You hit the ball, you throw the ball, you catch the ball, you know, you run. Like, that's it. Yeah, you have relays and cutoffs and fundamental baseball that you need to work on and understand where it is. But ultimately, if Aaron Judge hits three home runs, you win that day. This is different. And firing the head coach has ruined the defense, ruined their effort, ruined their scheme, ruined their ability to make maneuvers on the fly if they ever had that. Like, just everything about it. I am shocked with the performance. I have to admit, maybe I'm crazy. And I know there's a lot of Jet fans listening. Fliegelman probably one of them. Shocked. They could have absolutely lost this game. They're the Jets. I did not think the defense would be a no-show. I didn't think the Arizona Cardinals would do whatever they wanted to do. I did not think Kyler Murray would break the Cardinal record for most consecutive completions. I did not think that tight end would just friggin' turn into Mark Bavaro and break through every single tackle and run it down your throat. I didn't think McBride was going to do that. I didn't think they would be a no-show. The Jets no-showed. That's what's frustrating about it. You want to get your ass kicked? Fine. You show up, you line up, you play the 49ers week one, you get your ass kicked. You line up, you go take on the Kansas City Chiefs, you go take on the Detroit Lions, you go take on a good football team, you get your ass kicked. That's fine. The Arizona Cardinals aren't 31-6 better than the New York Jets. They're just not. They didn't show up. Paul in Buffalo. What's up, Paul?
Hey, Chris. Just in a chance to make you a little happier, a little more optimistic, the numbers 7, 10, and 32. And those numbers correspond to Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and Lamar Jackson and where they were picked. So, you know, the Giants are going to be in good position with Daboll. If he sees a quarterback, he'll have the resources to get him where he is. And you don't have to be number one overall. So it's all about the crop of what college is putting out there. It's never been easier to play quarterback in this league, the way the game is played and how it's called. So, you know, there should be a guy there wherever the Giants are picking this high. And what do you think of Kansas City Buffalo coming this week? Far as the one seed goes, it's an important game. But, you know, they've beaten us three times in a row in the playoffs. We beat them in the regular season. Yeah, so it's almost like it means nothing to the Bills fan at this point.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you want to win the game, obviously. But no, I mean, as the Chiefs found a way to get past the Broncos and stay undefeated, it would be a nice win for Buffalo. But you're right, it wouldn't mean anything. It wouldn't put anything in the back of the Kansas City Chiefs' mind if that rematch happens in the postseason. Now, again, to your point about the different places that the top, yeah, I mean, listen, Tom Brady was the 185,000th pick. I know. And the Giants are going to be drafted high, and I don't even know if I want the young quarterback, and I want Brian Day. We'll get into the Giants in just a second, but, like, anybody who is confused about what was best for this team yesterday, honestly, and I tweeted this out, if you are a Giant fan, and you don't believe in tanking, and you want to win every game because you believe that's what football teams should do, that's what you root for, I can't watch my team and root to lose, you know, all whatever reason you think. Watching that game, watching that quarterback, watching this team, I don't know how you can think winning that football game was better for this team. Like, what's the point of going 3-7 in that moment? Like, what is the point? The NFL is the only sport where there is a tangible, inarguable, you cannot argue this point with me, there is a tangible benefit to losing games. You get the better pick. Does that guarantee you the better player? No, it does not. Does it guarantee you anything? No, it does not. All it guarantees you is if you have a smart person making the decisions, or that he could have a better opportunity to get the right person, or that the right person doesn't get picked by a team in front of them. That is, however small you want to argue it, an absolutely tangible, real advantage in the NFL to losing this game. There is zero advantage, zero benefit. Nothing comes out of beating the Carolina Panthers in Germany. Nothing to go 3-7. There is zero benefit to it, other than maybe I'm not yelling at 3 o'clock in the morning like I will when I start talking Giants. Other than that, there is zero benefit to it. It's just inarguable. You just don't think the benefit's worth a smile on your face? You're going to smile at 3-7? Like, I don't understand what Giant fans actually want. You want your team to win, or do you want your team to be a winning team? Because I'm not interested in cheap victories. I talk about this with my kids all the time. Like, they want me to just say they won. We have a catch in the backyard. They want me to, if it bounced off the ground, they just want me to call it a catch. They just want to have me tell them they won. Those are cheap victories. I'm not interested in cheap victories at 3-7, 2-8. I'm not interested in going 3-8 in 2 weeks off the bye just to say, oh, I got to win. I feel better today. I'm not interested in cheap victories and meaningless victories. I don't want to win on Sunday. I want to win. I want to be a winning team. And as Fleelman gave me the stat yesterday or Friday. 8 out of the last 10 years, they've only won 40% of their games. It's been a decade now. And you can give me the Minnesota game all you want. It has been a decade now where the Giants are not a winning team. They are a losing team and a losing franchise for a decade. And if you want to sit there with a smile on your face at, you know, 11:30 noon because they happen to be up a touchdown or win a game against the Carolina Panthers to go 3-7, me and you don't see it the same way. I don't want cheap, meaningless victories. I want to be a winning team. And nothing guarantees that, but losing the game and getting a better pick is at least, however minute in your mind, an advantage, a benefit. It's less likely the great player who could help them gets picked in front of them. Even just that, that the pool of players will be larger. Just that alone is at least something. Winning the game gives you nothing. We saw it last year. Oh, Tommy DeVito, all this. Oh, they won these games down the stretch. It should help them into the year. 2-8. There is no momentum into the next year. They made it to the playoffs. They won a road playoff game. They beat Minnesota. They signed Jones to the contract. They still have Saquon Barkley. They franchise tagged him. Going to be a great year. 40-0 to the Cowboys in week one. Nothing that happens this year on the field will impact next year on the field, other than Daniel Jones getting hurt, which is why you can't play him anymore. And that's the other thing. We're going to have a conversation at 3 o'clock about this game, about the Giants head coach, about moving forward, and I'll just give you this right now. I don't want Brian Daboll fired. I don't. I don't think it's entirely his fault, and I'll get into more reasons later. I don't think he's done a good job by any stretch, and if he is announced today that he's fired, I will not care. And I won't scream about it and go, oh my God, how could you? It's been that bad and that ugly for the last two seasons. But I watch this game and I see a quarterback who might not be the worst thing you've ever seen, who might not be someone who constantly makes terrible decisions and bad plays and who's like, outwardly, obviously costing them the game necessarily on a week in and week out basis. And I know that's why maybe some of you like kind of rally around them because the offensive line sucks and the defense sucks and the head coach sucks and the play calling sucks and all this stuff. Daniel Jones is so freaking bad. And with his situation right now, I just said, I don't want this coach to be fired. There's only one way that I would actively campaign to fire Brian Daboll. And that's if it's his decision to start Daniel Jones in the next game. If Daniel Jones is still the starting quarterback the next time the Giants take the field, and I honestly believe it's Brian Daboll's decision, which is going to be hard to believe, that is the only thing that would get me to want to fire this coach and fire this GM and fire anyone who has anything to do with decision-making with the New York Giants, because continuing to go back to Daniel Jones, he shouldn't have gone back to Daniel Jones in the second half of this game. He shouldn't have started this game with Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones shouldn't have been playing for the last 2 weeks, because there's only one thing that torpedoes next season. And make no mistake, Giant fans, however you feel about tanking, next season is all that freaking matters. And there's only one thing that can torpedo next year, and that's forcing us to watch this slop again next year. And that's what happens if he gets hurt. And if you think that's, well, Chris, anyone could get hurt. Daniel Jones has ended 2 of the last 3 years on IR. 2 of the last 3. If that happens again, he's the starting quarterback for the New York Giants next year, and I don't know how in the world anyone could convince themselves that that's anything other than an absolute disaster for the New York Giants. I want Brian Daboll to draft a young quarterback. I want Brian Daboll to be able to make play calls like a flea flicker that would send two wide receivers wide open 40 yards down the field and have a quarterback who actually could at least throw the football. He doesn't even have to be accurate, and that is a huge gain in that game. He can't throw the football. He can't process it. He can't stand with pressure in his face and throw the ball down the field. He's incapable. Whether it's his fault, whether it's the organization's fault, whether it's been beaten out of him, whether he's been ruined by all the different coaches and play callers and terrible offensive line, whatever the reason is, we're watching it before us. He's got two options to make a 50-yard play if he just releases the football from his fingertips, and instead he can't do it. I can't watch it anymore. Even though I want them to lose, I can't watch it anymore. And everything about this year and next year become an out-and-out disaster if Daniel Jones gets hurt. I like Daniel Jones. I respect Daniel Jones. You saw it times again in this game where he takes on contact. He fights for the first down. I respect him. He's broken. And he's killing this team. And he's killed this team for the last 5 years. I can't let it happen for a sixth. I can't. And I'm giving him, someone mentioned the rookie year. I'm giving him his rookie year. The last hand, like the mistakes he's still making are unbelievable to me. That first throw, clean pocket, sails it over Neighbor's head. Like, that is a throw can't be made in the NFL. Not being able to get the ball out on that flea flicker can't happen to a 6-7 year quarterback making $45 million. He can't be allowed to return. I wish him well. It's not all his fault, but this can't happen anymore. So I still think I want Brian Daboll and Joe Shane. I believe in the continuity, and I do think I want to see them do what they were brought here to do. But if Daniel Jones is the starting quarterback in 2 weeks after the bye, I might have to reconsider how I feel about anybody, because that can't happen. That can't happen.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.